Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
We're getting the edited down, shortened version of it. We all know that those Mother's Day videos are going to be so aw. So everybody give a big aw this morning. And in doing that, let's ask our mothers to please rise to their feet. We want to honor you this morning and say thank you so much for all that you do to make our houses homes. To all you grandmas and great-grandmas and great-great-grandmas and moms-to-be, amen? Yeah, so we just wanted to honor you this morning. We do have these personalized North Rock Ladies devotional that we'll be giving you at the end of the service. It was written by some of the leading ladies that are here at North Rock. And we wanted to just give that to you today as a gift on your way out, okay? So be sure to grab one of these on your way out. But this whole Mother's Day thing is a big deal, right? It's a big deal, and it's so much of a big deal that my reflection into my topic this week in Naturally Supernatural, we're going to be talking about how is it that we can participate and partner with the Holy Spirit as He lives His life in and through us, right? Was that I started thinking about how much a mom's efforts at home or at our houses make it a home, right? I mean, if we were honest, guys, like we would admit that moms play a pretty big deal in the management of the household, don't they? Like the reality is not much would get done in my household. I can't project on y'all, but in my household, things go a little astray when mama's not around. I'm just saying that's what happens. And you know how important they are because it seems like our kids from a very early age are hardwired. Like with, you guys remember Finding Nemo, that movie, right? With the seagulls are always going, mine, 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 mine. Like kids are pre-programmed with that in them. Like mom, 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 mom. Like they just innately know that somehow mom will fix whatever's going on, get them whatever they need, find them whatever they have. And I found out that as we raise our kids to be older and older and become teenagers now, like it doesn't change. It doesn't change. It just, they change the way they say it. It's not as much mom, mom, mom anymore. It's like, mom. But you can just hear that going through the house. It just fills the house, right? It's the truth that moms are a big deal, and we thank God for them this morning. And what they do can sometimes go unnoticed. It can be unacknowledged or underappreciated. It's a thankless job in a lot of ways, but we are thankful that God's design was that He would give us a family that would help us to grow in who we are and what we do. So my first point today is that moms are awesome, okay? It's a good place to start. It's a good place to end. And the mother of my children, my beautiful wife, Jody, here on the front row, I had to just take a minute and just embarrass you because I know you don't like public attention. But to say I love you, thank you for all the love that you extend on behalf of our family, okay? So as I started thinking about the text and what we're talking about today, it made me think that, you know, moms are important part of a household because they have a perspective and they have a presence that can transform a house into a home, right? And so, you know, we got a picture of a super mom here, right? And, you know, she comes home from a hard day at work or whatever she's doing, and she rips off that shirt, and Superwoman is underneath there, right? That's the way it works, right, ladies? Like, it's you just got these superpowers that have just been given to you, right? Wrong. Nope, doesn't work that way, does it? Well, the good news of the gospel is that we have a super God that helps all of us, whether we're moms or dads or guys or girls or whatever we are, to get the things done as He builds His house. See, the truth of the matter is that moms have a vision and a perspective and a presence that can transform a house into a home. But did you know that God has a plan and a purpose and a perspective on Him building His house as well? See, God has a plan for His spiritual house, and that's that it would be a home for people. You guys know what it feels like when you go back home, don't you? When you go back home, it feels like home because there's somebody there that's taking care and that has taken time to make sure that it feels like a home when you get there. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23 is going to be the text that we start with this morning as we look at God's plan for His spiritual house. that it would be a place where people invest their naturally supernatural giftings and energy to see his house built. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Good place for an amen, isn't it? That the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available now, here and now, right? That verse 21 says, now he is far above every ruler and authority or power or leader or anything else. Even moms, y'all, can you believe that? Not only in this world, but in the world to come. Verse 22 says, God has put all things. Everybody say all things. The other half of you say all things. All things under the authority of Christ has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body, and it's made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. So moms give themselves selflessly so much to their families and what they're doing, but Jesus gives us himself. Isn't that the greatest gift we could ever get? And it's funny because in the scriptures we ask for things, or we see stories of people asking for things, and Jesus' response to them is, hey, I'll give you my very self. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. That relationship with God is paramount importance, and it's what leads us and guides us and empowers us to live naturally supernatural lives. You guys remember 2 weeks ago when Pastor Melissa was talking to us from John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, she said, but in fact, it is best that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment, right? So the word for advocate, the word that was used in that text, is paraclete. It's a Greek word, and it can be translated into multiple different English words, okay? But I think, especially on a Mother's Day, when we think about moms as those being loving and caring and full of grace and strength and vision, that these words also reflect his love for his creation through all of our relationships, right? Paraclete means encourager, comforter, counselor, helper. And as we saw in this particular version of the Bible, it says advocate. In John chapter 14, we read a text that's almost identical to that one, just a couple of chapters before what we just read. And I want to read that one because I like the way it kind of comes out in a week where most of us were probably looking for someone, somehow, to counsel, to help, and to advocate for us, right? Verse 25 of chapter 14 in John says, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have told you. How many of you, like me, are thankful that the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things that we need to be reminded of? Not that moms remind us of things, right? Thankful that the Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that we need. Verse 27, he says, he reminds you of everything that he told you. Verse 27 says, I leave you with this gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now, if we were honest, we'd all say we experienced some fear, some trepidation, and some trouble this week, right? Many of us followed what happened with the STEM school shooting. Many of us are aware, if you're a Coloradan, of what happened at Columbine. And it's only human nature for us to be shaken by these events, to be concerned about what's happening in our society, to be afraid, to be angry. And I know you all experience these because I'm on Facebook with you and I see all of your responses to this crisis, right? And we all wrestle with it. We all grieve. We all struggle. And the good news is that as we wrestle with it, as we hit our knees in tears and cry out for the families that are affected, and as moms and as parents and as people concerned with taking care of our next generation, we ask God for answers. We call out. And the good news is we don't call out into the chasm of eternity. We call out to the advocate. Amen? We call out to the one who is with us in our pain. We call out to the one who wants to be a helper and a comforter and an encourager and a counselor. See, it wouldn't be human if we didn't feel what we feel when those situations occur. But it also wouldn't be true that we wouldn't know how to respond to it except by the Holy Spirit's empowerment of supernatural, natural living in our lives. In other words, God has an energy, God has a strength, God has a counseling, a helping, an advocating, a caring, a grace-filled strength that we can draw upon in our moments of need. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 through 5 says this, "While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and we sigh." Anybody groan and sighing in their earthly bodies? Man. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Goes on to say, rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Verse 5, I love the way this ends. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. I hope that encourages your heart today. I hope that reminds us of the strength that there is to draw from when hard things happen, when difficulties occur, when crises happens in life. He's prepared us for this, and he's given us his very self as a guarantee, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And as we draw upon that, and as we act and move from what happens in here and what happens in here to get out there, we see naturally supernatural things occur in our lives as we carry the love and the care and the concern for others. See, the idea of participating in a naturally supernatural Holy Spirit encounter means that I learn how to differentiate between what is my resources and what he can do in and through me, right? And here's two major areas that you can trust God to operate in the midst of difficulty and challenges in this world. One are the external manifestations of his Spirit, right? Anybody ever experienced that? Anybody experienced that today in worship? Where you just feel the God filling you back up, encouraging you, filling up your heart, giving you new resources that you didn't have when you came running in, right? When someone gets healed, anybody ever had somebody get healed? Anybody been healed? We got some testimony going on in this place. Gonna have to help me preach this morning, mothers. Right? There's the external manifestations, and then there's also the internal transformation of our character and our personalities to bear witness of God's work in our life. It's cut in the Bible, they talk about it as the fruits and the gifts, right? It's the fruits and the gifts. Those are ways that God moves in our life. And if you'd like to know more about those, you can go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, or 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. But that's how he moves in and through our lives. And so, just in this reflection on moms, and this reflection on how the Holy Spirit wants to build his house in and through his people as he naturally, supernaturally works in and through our lives in day-to-day occurrences with other people. I came to the understanding or that aha moment that, you know, what moms have a way of motivating us in our families, but the family still has to choose to move, right? The family still has to choose to move. And I will say, moms have a way of doing that motivation in ways that sometimes, just be honest, works better than dad, at least in my house, right? Kids, 5 minutes, we're getting ready, let's go. Kids, 2 minutes, gotta get in the car, you're going to be late for school, let's go. And all of a sudden you hear mom upstairs go, "Kids, now," right? Anybody ever experienced that in a house before? And it's like, poof, they're in the car, their seatbelts are on, they're already ready to go, everything's happening. And And it's true, mom's voice carries weight, but it's really her nurture and the witness of her love for her family that allows her perspective and her presence to motivate. Good news is that God does the same for us, but he does it in and through us. I know I've said that several times today. Let me explain what I'm trying to say with that just a little bit, okay? So God nurtures us in witness and in by his perspective and his presence. See, I don't have a witness outside of his work in my life. Does that make sense? That I can't manufacture the things that we read about in the scriptures apart from his spirit, right? That it's him in us, living in us, that causes transformation to occur in our lives. It's the way that he motivates and moves his body, his church, that we just read about, that changes the dynamics of our everyday life realities. See, the challenge that we all face in this time period, this era, is that we know God's word to be true, right? We know eschatologically that his return is imminent and it's going to happen. Amen? That he's going to say yeah, everything is yes and amen to his promises. And in this meantime, we operate as his followers as a foretaste, as a taste test, as those who usher in his presence into dynamic situations like our jobs or our homes, right? Or our neighborhoods or our teams or wherever it might be, that we can invite God's presence and his perspectives into every situation. So Jesus told us before he left, in this world you will have hard things. You will have struggles. You will have difficulties. But what was his counsel? His counsel was, but do not be afraid. Do not worry. Why? Because he has overcome. He has overcome. He has overcome death, and he is our victor, right? So God nurtures us by witness and perspective by his presence. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is just a little verse, but it's a profound verse. It's one that that ministers to me and challenges me in many ways and many seasons. But it simply gives a direct promise to us. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Everybody say, be filled this morning. That's all. Say, be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We want to be filled. See, our challenge and what they're addressing in the book of Ephesians is that sometimes those people tried to fill their lives with things that they thought might bring them peace, might bring them hope, might bring them something other than what they were experiencing. I know that doesn't happen in today's society, right? We're not trying to fill ourselves with anything but the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I say that in jest. People that know me are laughing. The rest of you are going, I don't know, is he joking? I started thinking about this being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember being in high school and I first got my license and I got my car and you know, you don't have a lot of money and you don't have a lot of time. And I would like try to get places on like an 18th of a tank of gas. Anybody else do that? Like, I got to make it till Friday, payday. Like, we're just going to fume this thing, man. I'm gonna turn it off at every hill and we're just going to coast and I'll turn it back on. Anybody else do those things, right? We had fuel, right? We had fuel, but it was just enough fuel. And I love the challenge that's in this text because it says, don't just have an 18th of a tank. It says, be filled. Be filled. How many of us, as we sit here today, recognize that God has an abundance of his fullness in us? That we just read, right, that he will give us the Holy Spirit. Those of you that ask for things, he will give us his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, according to Matthew Henry commentary, says it this way. It says, the tense for the Greek to be filled makes it clear that this isn't just a one-time condition that does not stop with a single experience, but it's maintained continually being filled as commanded here. The Spirit is to influence all aspects of our lives, overflowing in transformed relationships, in dynamic ministry, and in enhanced worship, which includes our personal prayer language, right? And he goes on to say, instead of being filled with wine or fill in the blank, he exhorts us to say, be filled with the Spirit. The meaning of this exhortation is that men should be labor for plentiful measure of the graces of the Spirit that would fill our souls with great joy and strength and courage. And the things that those who would think wine would do that would inspire, right? So I illustrate that simply to say that a full tank of gas is not the same thing as 1/18 of a tank of gas. And as we take time in this series to say, God, would you fill us again and anew? God, would you pour out your Holy Spirit continuously in us? God, would you help us to be a people that live with full tanks? Amen? Listen, one of the first things I do when I get a paycheck is I fill my wife's tank and I fill my tank because we want full tanks. I've gotten to that place in my life. I have kids. I have responsibilities. I have jobs. Like, I need a full tank. And if it gets below a quarter of a tank, I freak out, right? But that's when we know that any place that we need to go, that the Holy Spirit has the power to get us there, we cry out to him, right? And the way I started thinking about it on this Mother's Day is there ain't nothing like mama's cooking, right? There's nothing like mama's home cooking. And so when I think about this whole idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it makes me think about going home for a meal, right? For those of anybody have mamas, grandmamas, aunties, somebody that can cook, right? That it's that kind of idea, like I look forward to it, like I draw, like I pull myself up to the table, like and trying to eat more than I should. Like in a week, I should eat, not eat that much. But you want to eat that much. You want to expand your capacity for packing that food in. My mother-in-law, Mary, makes an incredible red chili. And anytime that I can get some, I get some. Right? And like, I'm not like greedy or hoarding or territorial. But when it comes to that red chili, like I'm making sure we're cleaning it up that day. There's no leftovers. Okay, when Jody makes her red chili enchiladas, it's something special. It's something that I want to come back for more of. Does that make sense? That's how we should think about the Holy Spirit. Not just enough to get us through the challenge we're facing today, but to have overflowing, full tanks of the Holy Spirit so that we can handle all things that this world throws at us. Amen? So we want to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. We want to nurture this unapologetic dependence on the Holy Spirit and realize that this isn't just something we give intellectual assent to. It isn't something that is the luxury package of the Christian walk, right? It's God himself and a mandate from the Lord. And so when I read this text, I read it like your mama told you something, right? You read it like this is God's command to us. Be filled. Be filled. See, Jesus, can you imagine being his disciples when he looked you in the face and said, hey, guys, it's better that I go away. I mean, imagine arguing that one out, right? What do you mean go away, Jesus? You're the Savior of the world. You're the Messiah. Like, we left everything to follow you, and you're saying you're going to, where are you going to go? Can we come? Right? But two things he secured by going away. One, to make sure that anyone who would draw near to him could. Anyone. That he would address sin, the big S sin, so that we could bring our sin to him and know that he has taken that on the cross for us. Amen? That no matter how we feel today, no matter where we're coming to this place from, that God has taken care of it. He's paid the bill. He's our advocate, right? He's got vision for your life. And the second thing is that we would always have the Holy Spirit's empowerment and presence in our life. Because when it comes to this whole idea of mama, like, no matter all the great things that they do to help our families, no matter all the things that they do to add value, to make a house a home, it's their presence that really is the greatest, right? My grandmother's had gotten aged, and we just had to move her into a Alzheimer's memory care unit. But I can tell you, being in her presence is a powerful thing. The Holy Spirit in our presence is the gift above all gifts. And that if we'll cultivate that, if we'll come at that with that idea, with that dependence, with that realization that God didn't just save us out of our mess so that we could just stumble through the rest of our life. But rather, like the illustration we used earlier, right, with the mom thing, that we would become more and more dependent on his Holy Spirit to guide everything. That we'd take everything to him and say, Father, Abba, Daddy, Papa, bring our the things we need, bring our heart's desires, bring the things that make our heart sad, right? And when we do that, Jesus assures us of his presence and his promise over our life. Some of us here today are wrestling with this idea of, as I sit here today, do I know that the Holy Spirit's active in my life? As I sit here today, do I know that I can be full of his presence? I want to just encourage you with Jesus' words that say that if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, we know how to give good gifts to our children, don't we? Like we spoil them. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you love the way he does that? We ask for stuff, he gives himself, right? Lord, I need your help. I need this. I need this. I need that. And he says, here I am. It's my presence that transforms. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says this. This is what we're going to end up with. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. It says, what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Again, there's that promise that God is building a house. You are that house. We are that house. And he is fully committed to resourcing his temple. And it says in 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, God says, I will live in them and I will walk in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Again, his presence is his promise to us. Three ways that I think that we as a church can embody and walk out both the characteristics of a mom and the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. On this Mother's Day, this is what we can do practically speaking. You guys like handholds, things you can take away from a message? Here are a couple of them. One, gratitude is praise. Do you realize that when we offer gratitude as praise or offer thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father, that you're acting in a naturally supernatural way? That's not coming from your flesh. That's not just because you're a nice person. I've met you all. Right? We all need the Holy Spirit's love and empowerment to be nice, right? Second way we can do it is be compassionate. God, how much in this world could be healed by us just offering compassion to those that are different from us, to those that are struggling, to those that are hurting, to those that have a need? Third thing that we can do is we can rise up and have courage and confidence that Jesus is not surprised by the mess that we're in the middle of. Jesus has hope for eternity, and he has made that home in us. So, as we sit here today, I want you to do an inventory as we sing this song one more time. How aware are you of the Holy Spirit's willingness and presence to transform whatever it is that you need transformed today? I hope you know just as real as the relationship that we experience here is the relationship with him, with his children. The Holy Spirit is ready and available for anyone who would ask. So, Father, we respond to you this morning by saying, you are our dad. And, Lord, I know that as we celebrate moms, Lord, there are also pains that have risen up as I've spoken today because our moms have passed on, because our moms weren't around, because we wanted to be a mom and we couldn't be one. Lord, we give those to you today, and we ask you to be our comforter, our advocate, our healer, and the one who ministers to our needs. Help us, Lord, live out a life fully empowered by your Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I want to be filled with the Spirit today. I want to enact that Ephesians 5:18 that you just read. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You guys have talked about it. You've said where it's available. If that's you here today, would you just raise your hand up high? Maybe for the first time. I remember the first time I ever prayed this prayer. And I remember praying it this morning, getting ready for this service, that God wants to fill us with his Spirit that's readily available. And all it takes is me to move beyond my pride and say, God, I need you. I need you. I need fullness. I need your fullness. Anybody here today want to make that decision? Anybody want to ask God to fill them? Yeah, good. Good. Yeah, me too. Thank you. Yes, sir. I see you back there. Awesome. Father, we thank you for the gift of your very self. Lord, that you didn't just give us a manual to try to make it through this world and limp our way through. But rather, Lord, you have empowered us and you have filled us with your fullness. So, Lord, I pray that you would expand our capacity to walk in your grace, to walk in your mercy, to walk in your love. And, Lord, where we would feel diminishing of that, where we would feel like we're struggling in that, Lord, we would know that that's just your reminder to us that our God is with us in all things. Father, you are not afraid of anything going on in this world. Give us courage. Lord, you do not lack empathy or compassion for the many situations of this world that you want to address. Lord, help us to rise up. Help us to be compassionate people. Help us, Lord, to invest our lives in a way that expresses naturally supernatural living. In Jesus' name we pray and trust. Amen. Let's worship him. As we respond and reflect upon the word today, if the Lord has encouraged your heart, if he has reminded you of his capacity to provide the love and the empathy and the hope and the courage that we need for this world, would you just respond to him by giving him a clap offering? Would you just lift that up and say, God, we are aware that you are in this with us and that you are the victor, amen? That you, God, are victorious in our lives. And maybe you are here today and this is the first time you've ever heard a talk about this, that God gave his life so that we could do life with him. That he has resources for your life and that he has made sure that the sin payment was taken care of so that we can experience him as our Father in heaven. If that's you here today, we want to pray a prayer with you that we pray every week here at North Rock, reminding us of God's commitment to care for his creation. Let's pray that prayer. And then let's dismiss. Let me hear you. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd love to give you a gift to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. Otherwise, all of you ladies, please make sure you grab one of those devotionals on your way out. And if you have yet to be baptized, we'd love to celebrate that moment with you. Get signed up today in the foyer, okay? God bless you all. Enjoy some of that home cooking this morning, all right? Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.